Welcome to the Arvato Health Podcast. I'm Jodie Duval, and I'm a functional naturopath in Perth, WA. This is a place where you can expand your knowledge on how to optimize your health and realize your full potential. We'll have cutting-edge information with expert guests and having lots of fun along the way. Get ready to be empowered and motivated to reach your higher vitality and find your ultimate potential. Let's go!
Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization, Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 non-profit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. We have cohorts running up to 2 times per year. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind, exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia with state-of-the-art health technology protocols and personalized care, with compounded medicines made specifically for your testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au.
Welcome back to another episode of the Revital Health Podcast. So today I have the amazing Helen Marshall, founder of Primal Alternative, joining me. And Helen's personal health journey led her to create a range of wholesome, delicious, and nourishing products that are now loved by wellness experts, mums, and even the most skeptical eaters, kiddos. So from her early struggles with diet and health to founding a global movement of primalistas, Helen has turned her passion into a thriving business that supports people in maintaining balanced, healthy lifestyles and creating business opportunities for women really just wanting to make a difference in the field as well. So she has founded Primal Alternative. It's a health conscious food company, and it specializes in providing real food alternatives to mainstream products. Helen's struggles included years of digestive discomfort and low energy, and this pushed her to dive into ancestral diets and clean eating. And this journey not only transformed her health, but also sparked the creation of Primal Alternative. And now we get the benefit of eating her yummy recipes and women around Australia making these for people, and so they can enjoy them in their own home. So I really loved Helen's business perspective and how she has created this, a very different style of business, people-centered, and a lot of it is women-centered as well. So I really hope you enjoy hearing Helen's story, her passions, and getting some insights into how these sorts of diets and foods can really transform your health as well. So without further ado, Helen.
All right. Welcome, Helen, to the Revital Health Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you. I'm here with Helen Marshall from Primal Alternative.
Hey, Jodie, so cool to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
That's all right. Some of you may realize, but we did a bit of swap. So I was up first and you were up second. And this is so fun now to talk about your business and all of your journey and all of the health, you know, related to that as well. So I'm really excited to be speaking with you and hearing this story from you as well. So let's start with your inspiration and how you actually got into Primal Alternative. And I'll jump into the business side of things a little bit further down the conversation, but I really want to hear about what motivated you to actually land where you are now.
Yeah, great question. I'll try and keep it as condensed as possible, but I've sort of come from one of those families where we've always tried to be healthy, you know, like fitness. I was in the fitness industry from age 14, and that was that was a while ago now. And I'm approaching 50, but that was the era of, you know, low fat, high carbohydrate diets and lots of exercising, monitoring calories in, calories out. And I kind of lived that way. I remember sort of like totting up the calories in my head, you know, just before I went to sleep, you know, instead of perhaps now I think about all the things I was grateful for in the day. But during those days, I'd be like, right, one crisp, that equals so many calories, and an orange and a sandwich and all that kind of thing. Because that was really the metrics that we had. And so I thought it was really healthy. And, you know, managed to get away living like that in my 20s, really kind of just getting by on very lean protein, no fats at all, carbs and veggies. Mm. And went and had my kids in my 30s, had two wonderful pregnancies, awesome births, everything went well. And then I just kind of, the wheels just kind of fell off, Jodie, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I was just experiencing really chronic nausea. That was my main symptom. But everything was wrong. Yeah. You know, I had no energy. I felt really overwhelmed just with everything. Like, oh my goodness, I've got to do a load of washing and get dinner on the table again tonight. And my sleep was rubbish. Like, I was so tired and exhausted during the day. But then when I got into bed, I was just like so wired. I couldn't sleep. Aches and pains. I had to jump out of bed sometimes to take a Nurofen to get rid of the headaches that I was having because I couldn't sleep. And I couldn't understand why, because I was eating all the right things, you know. And oh, let's not forget as well, I was very constipated. So knowing what I know now about the connection between constipation and SIBO and hormones and liver, I now know that that was really my kind of that was what was going on with me, essentially. Mm. And in a kind of like dark night of the soul, we were really, you know, at that time I was a stay-at-home mum. I used to have a city job, mm-hmm. and we moved down to the country for a lifestyle kind of change. And I thought, well, I can't have a corporate job here. Mm. There's nothing I'm going to do. I sort of felt like I'd retired, you know, like mid-30s. There's not going to be any jobs for me here in the country. And so we had no money. We were just surviving on one salary, and I couldn't afford to go and see, you know, someone like yourself, I thought at the time. Mm. And I just had this kind of dark night of the soul inspiration where I was like, well, maybe I should just try going gluten-free. So that was like the big one for me. And then, you know, this we're talking like 10, 11 years ago, and you're really only like one click away from paleo, primal, ancestral, Mediterranean kind of eating. And so I thought, well, I'm very much like in for a penny, in for a pound. So I was like, well, if I'm going gluten-free, I might as well just go grain-free and just kind of like do this for a couple of weeks till I'm back on track and then go back to my, you know, standard Australian diet, which was, you know, like all bran for breakfast with skim mm-hmm. milk and mm-hmm. beans on toast for lunch and meat and veg for dinner and Tim Tams and a cup of tea before bed. You know, that was kind of what it was. And you know, I thought that was healthy. Anyway, turned out soon gluten was really my kryptonite, and that was what was really causing a lot of digestive issues for me. And I felt a lot better from ditching it, but I found it really hard to just like eat meat and veg all the time. Like, I wanted to have a piece of toast, or I wanted to have pizza.
Yeah,
you know, like easy foods, like something you can just grab, not something that you've got to like be chopping and cooking and chewing. You know, you just want sometimes to just scoff and dash, don't you really?
Yeah.
So I just went to the shops and I just filled up. I was like, okay, well, there's gluten-free bread and there's gluten-free wraps and there's, and I just filled up my cart with all of these things and then got home and I was so disappointed. And don't get me wrong, there are some really awesome gluten-free products out there, but the ones that I picked tasted like cardboard. Mm. And I'd already been looking at ingredients, right? And I looked at the back of what was in these and I was just like, what is all of this? This is just like starches and gums. And I just thought, if I just swap these out, you know, like for this for that, then I'm going to end up diabetic and fat because of all the starches in there and the carbs and the spike and all of that kind of thing. So really that was my inspiration to think, right, well, there's nothing in the shops that really hits the mark. And I had really embraced a paleo primal way of eating, which really is just a fancy way of saying meat and veg.
Yeah.
Right. So meat and veg. So I was like, well, what can I make that's kind of going to be made out of nuts and seeds and veggies and good fats? What can I create from that kind of like ingredient list of real food to substitute alternatives for bread and cookies? Like my husband said, we're not doing this without cookies. So I was like, okay, we need cookies. And so I created these products, but and it really was a difference. It was night and day, Jodie. It was like, okay, we can do this and we can stick to this. And here we are, 10 years later, still sticking to it. You know, it doesn't feel like a thing to stick to. It's just a different way of living. And my goodness, my health changed so much, Jodie. Like, I had a really hideous detox. Like, it was, I thought, what have I done? I feel worse than I did before. I didn't know much about detox symptoms. But once I'd popped out the other side, like, I just would never, you just would never go back. It was literally like this like veil had lifted, and things felt better. And I could, my intuition was like more tuned. I don't know. I just felt so much more connected and inspired. And yeah, so that's kind of in a nutshell. There's lots of different versions, you know, little tangents and segues we could go off there, Jodie, but absolutely, that really was my inspiration, was my own hideous health crisis, which was really from following the healthy government guidelines that had been told to do, in order to be healthy.
And it's not the first time I hear these sorts of things, obviously, as you can imagine. Absolutely. And it's inspirational that you took that and went, no, this is not good enough. I'm not living like this. I'm not putting up with these symptoms, and I'm going to do something with the resources that I have and the empowerment that I have to actually change. And, you know, again, it's not looking for that quick fix, or, you know, it's actually putting the hard effort in over the years, and also the dietary removals, which can be so tough, especially when you're already feeling bad. You can't find the motivation to be able to do those changes. So it really is inspirational. And yes, you know, not being able to seek out any other advice, but at the time that would have maybe even been looking for the next magic pill anyway. And so making those deep down changes has changed much more over the long run than actually where you may have ended up anyway. So yeah, it's a beautiful story. And I think from when you create something out of need on a personal nature, you put so much more love and passion, and the quality of what you're producing out of that becomes, you know, authentic. And nothing is better than that. And people know that when they touch base with the products, or the cooking, or the, you know, whatever product that is around that has been created out of that too. So very beautiful, very, very, very beautiful. So leading on to my next question, out of the products that you created, what came first? You know, so from in the home, feeling better, you know, unveiling all the inflammation and feeling clarity again, you could now think, and then now creating product for people. But then not only that, you're creating a community, which I find, you know, and I don't know the ins and outs yet from your words, but from a production point of view, it can be quite expensive to do it this way, but it also isn't empowering the local communities around. So I feel that the way that you have created your business is from my perspective, just that, is empowering people to then lead other people and then have their own skills, but then also it's part of a business of a higher structure of support. So talk me through a few of those things. I know it's a couple, so, you know, products, what came first? What are the sort of life-changing ones that you found people really love? And then next on to sort of that business sense of how that came about as well.
Lovely. My favorite topics. But before I go into that, I just want to say that I did actually go and see, on my health journey, I did go and see a naturopath. And it's funny how we feel, and I have ever since always, you know, had a team of, I mean, you're not always working on something, you know, there's certain, you know, like now I'm perimenopausal, and last year I was having a bit of an eczema situation and I was going, what's going on here? So yes, worked with nutritionists and naturopaths to work through that. And I just want to say that yes, there's a lot you can do, but just by yourself, but it's so important to really get, especially in that I was in such a mess. It was so important to have that guidance and that support I really needed some supplements and tonics and stuff to get me back on track, and that really, really helped.
You can do a lot,
you know, with just food, which is so empowering, right? Which came first? So as I mentioned before, I used to be a fitness instructor and worked in the leisure industry. I even did a degree in the leisure industry, and so very focused kind of on wellness and that kind of thing. So when you know, that the whole world changed, right, over the last sort of 10 years or so in terms of internet and working from home opportunities and online course options. So having, you know, come from the city, I actually was a recruiter with a big recruitment firm for 10 years, mainly because the leisure industry is great, but the hours are really bad because you're working when people are playing. And so, you know, if you want to have a lifestyle where you can be there for the kids and be there at weekends and evenings, then working in the leisure industry in gyms isn't good for you. It's not going to work.
Very tricky.
So very true, very tricky. So I found out about a health coaching course, so Primal health coaching course. So I did that online and it was so cool because then I could do 21-day challenges, group events in the community. And I started health coaching essentially. And I started creating these primal chats where I'd invite people over and we'd all talk about the health journeys that we'd had. Everyone's got very, you must have heard millions of similar stories like this, Jodie, in terms of people's health crisis from just eating stuff you get in Woolies. And I really saw a common thread that everybody, you know, was really struggling with those food swaps. And so it just kind of came out that I was like, well, I've made these cookies for us. Do you want to buy some? And I've made this bread. Those were the first products. So it was cookies because my husband said he wouldn't do it without cookies, right? Yeah. So it was the choc chip cookies. That was the OG recipe. And that was, I just took a family favorite recipe, swapped out the margarine for organic butter, swapped out the self-raising flour for almond meal, swapped out the crappy supermarket compound melts for 70% cacao dark chocolate. And we were blown away. We were like, this is even better than the original recipe. This, and to this day, like, we still have a whole massive jar of these choc chip cookies in the pantry, and it's everyone's like go-to for whenever they just want something with a cup of tea or instead of a muesli bar, you know. So I started selling these products, and it was so funny because that side of the business just took off. It wasn't one of those, you know, you sometimes really push and try. I really wanted to do health coaching, pushing, and it was hard work and push. And then something just kind of, someone else just came in, you know, like this inspiration to cook food, and then just, oh, I'll think I'll just share that, you know. And then the next minute that took off and people started talking, and I became known as the paleo bread woman. And then the local pizza shop, he's a great guy, he does authentic, you know, slow matured sourdough pizza, authentic, amazing ingredients. He was like, I want to have your paleo bases on the menu. Still does to this day. And then local health food shops started getting in touch, and cafes started ordering 60 pizza bases a week to sell in their cafe. And it just became a thing of its own, right? And I was baking 2 days a week because I was doing some health coaching. I was also doing some massage, and I was also enjoying my life, you know, and looking after myself and looking after my family and my home and my veggie patch and all those things that I really like to do. But I started to get phone calls and emails and inquiries from interstate. Like, people were saying, you know, I've heard about you and your products. Can you post some stuff to me? So I did, but unfortunately, or maybe not unfortunately, it was all sort of on the way. But the products, you know, they're all fresh. There's no preservatives, nothing nasty in them. So they just weren't suited to being posted over interstate, right? It really was just for local community.
Yeah.
So by this point, I've got a little farmer's market. I'm supplying into two little local towns. I've got lots of direct customers, you know, dropping into the high school and the primary school, dropping off stuff to all the teachers who are too busy to get to the shops or too busy to cook themselves. And it was really like ticking along nicely. My health was getting so much better. Yeah. I was doing a little bit of personal development work with a coach where she was asking me questions like, you know, what do you want to, how do you want to spend your day? And if you could do anything that you knew you wouldn't fail at, what would you do? And I was like, oh, I don't know. These are annoying questions, right? and then this idea literally downloaded from the universe. And I used to always apologize for saying such a stupid thing, and it was so woo-woo, but now everybody that I speak to is like, no, I know what you mean. I get what you mean. That sort of thing has happened to me as well. And it was. And I believe it was because you know, I was feeling energized. I was feeling inspired. I'd become a clean channel. I'd got rid of all of my, you know, things, discomforting things that were distracting me away from my higher self, you know, if you like. And the message literally was, you need to license your business model so that other women who love to bake, who want to have a little home business like this, can do it too. And then it'd be win-win, because that was fulfilling the, you know, how many mums do you meet that they'd love to do something that they're actually passionate in, not just, you know, doing a job they don't really like. I mean, they can do it, but they don't really like it. But they like to do something that really lights them up, but they've got the constraints of the family and, you know, other things that got going on in their life. But to be able to do something like this with a model that's already tried and tested, like all the hard bits are done, you know, like the labels and the recipes and pricing. I mean, how many times as businesswomen do we get the pricing wrong? Because we want to be nice and we don't want to overcharge, but you know, vegan, all those sorts of things big done,
businesses. Yes.
But also to have, yes. Yeah. But still to have your own business, but to do it with a network of other women who are doing it too. And there's no territory, and there's no, because that's a male thing, right? That's a patriarchal thing, territory. Women aren't competitive like that. Women are better collaborators. Yeah. And just to put a few things in place so there isn't anything like that, we all charge the same price. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to step on anyone else's toes and go and talk to the manager at IGA and say, hey, buy your bread from me instead. And like, why would they anyway? Because you can't give them a better price.
Yeah.
So I just had this vision and I just followed my guidance. I had no clue. I had no prior experience of a licensing model. I had no food industry experience apart from, you know, feeding myself and my family. But I just trusted that, you know, each next step would kind of reveal itself. And, you know, it's in next week, it's going to be 8 years since the first home baker said, okay, I'll give it a go, what you're doing. And yeah, I still show up for my business every day, and it's challenging and it's rewarding and it's everything else in between. But yeah, I love it. It's my life's work, which is a really, I always never knew what people meant when they said that, but this is my life's work and I love it.
Yeah, it absolutely shows, Helen. And I think to that point of business being everything in between, I think that's how you get that business and running your business. It's so rewarding, but it's challenging you constantly that you have no opportunity yet to grow, So you are growing and you are expanding and you are finding things out about yourself that you will escalate that growth much faster than you ever have anywhere else in your life because of that issue or that challenge that you had. And I think it's so rewarding in that way, but also just to watch yourself move through those challenges and then look back and pat yourself on the back and go, oh my gosh, I made it through. Whew, well done. Like that was a bit sticky exactly. for a little bit there, but look what I did. Mm-hmm. This is amazing. And there is the rewards for it. So yeah, I totally agree with you, you know, knowing that passion and that purpose. And if you can see yourself doing it for the rest of your life and not wanting to retire from it, I think it's such a beautiful thing to know that you're in the right place. So yeah, it's really beautiful to hear. So I want to move on from here, but it's not moving on far. And I just want to talk about, you know, the opportunity for obviously your products and so the development of them. And I'll also, you know, I think I'll draw into sort of like future development, like how do you sort of plan what this development of what you're going to produce or have the recipes for, or the, you know, the labels and the training. And you know, what are you looking for in a market? Like, it's a very confusing time. And this is where I think for you and the success of your business, it's like, you know, when people don't know what is healthy, but they know there's a better option for it. You know, there is all these swaps, as you said earlier, you know, making the cookies, you swap it for this flour, or you swap it for this sugar, or you swap it for this, you know, better butter, you know, better oil version of whatever you're using, but not everyone knows this. So then it's an amazing thing to have a product that is trusted, that you know that you're doing the right thing. But you know, I guess there's limitations to how much you can produce of whatever particular product it might be, but then, you know, you see something and you're like, oh, I wish I could actually make my version of that. So what does that look like for you?
Hey, that's a great question, Jodie. And I think that, you know, the products that we've got, they came from the products that we heard people were missing the most, I was missing, that my health coaching clients, you know, they were saying to me, like, I feel so much better ditching gluten and grains and seed oils and sugar. I feel so much better for that. But I just, by the end of the week, I just can't be bothered, you know, like I was saying before, fermenting your veggies and soaking your nuts and chopping all your meat and all your veggies and cooking everything from scratch. And these people had, you know, proper jobs. You know, they were teachers and ambulance drivers and, you know, naturopaths as well. And they didn't have the time to necessarily do everything from scratch all the time. So they'd, you know, get to the end of the week and then they'd fall off the wagon was the word the phrase they would use. And they'd, you know, just get a crappy pizza from the supermarket. And then they were like, oh, well, I've thrown, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater and finish off that ice cream and polish off the bottle of wine while you're at it, you know? And then they'd feel like, oh, I feel so terrible. I feel like I've fallen off the wagon and ditched the diet and start again on Monday. And that whole mentality. And I just thought, well, if we can just ditch the deprivation, just what can we do to, like, you know, find healthier versions or primal alternatives? I mean, that's how the name of the business came about, because I was like, you know, it used to be Primal Soapbox, and I'd forgotten about that. Right, what a bad name for a business. People used to come up at me at the markets and think I was selling soap. You know, it's like, no, so soapbox, as in like I'm getting and telling everyone about this way of living. You know, like that's soapbox. I was like, what can be a good name for my business? And I was like, you know, when people are Googling, they'll be like, what's the primal alternative for bread? What's the primal alternative for cereal? What's the primal alternative for cookies? And then I went, alternative. And that's how that came about. I love those little moments, those little aha moments along the journey. To answer your question, it came from feedback from what people were telling me they wanted. And I think, you know, and my deep diving as well into diets, and one in particular through emotional freedom technique, of where people go and they try and do emotional freedom technique to get rid of certain food addictions or things that they're like really, really into. And I think we've pretty much got all bases covered apart from ice cream. Like that's the only thing we don't do. But all of the common things that people really want to reach for that are kind of like comforting staples or convenience, but without compromise. I mean, I love just to go into Woolies, Jodie, and pick up all of this very cleverly marketed, makes me crazy, like the mince pies. I mean, it's August at time of recording, right? The mince pies are already in the supermarket, right? And every year, I mean, it's August, like October, okay, right? But August, I mean, it's still winter. What's going on? So, and the list of ingredients gets longer each year. I actually think that the food industry is like big food, it's getting worse. Like I thought I was at the you know, front of the bell curve, I thought things have got to get so much more transparent, that people are really wanting, they just don't trust supermarket food anymore. They feel like natural alternatives are a much better alternative, and they feel like the supermarket doesn't offer those alternatives. So surely it's gonna, you know, I'll probably get positioned out, and you know, but no, I actually think there is no better selection. I really think that any future change of real food, it's going to come locally. It's going to come from Jo down the street baking her amazing sourdough bread and putting a little stall outside of a house. It's going to come from the dude down the road who grows his veggies without chemicals, or the local farmer who, you know, raises grass-fed animals. You know, like that's where it's going to come from. It's not going to come from big food. That is not your health. Is not their priority. Their priority is shelf life and profit.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to hear that, but that is the reality. And, you know, it's either going to come from our own kitchen or someone's kitchen down the road if you just don't have the capacity to do it all yourself, which is fair enough, you know?
So, absolutely.
Did I answer the question? I went off on a bit of a rant about Woolies there.
No.
But they're not a sponsor of the show, Jodie.
Look, I think COVID taught us many things, and one of those is it's actually brought back in the awareness that supply is not always going to meet demand. And I think for that, a lot of people were so much more aware, and I think we've slipped back into bad habits again. But part and parcel, it's sort of like re-brought up the fact that we can't always rely on our supply chain of foods that are in our supermarkets. And yet now, so we have to then think outside the box. We actually have to, produce our own food, or, make our own food. Wow, novel.
Yeah, yeah.
So novel.
Yeah.
But back to primal, so actually knowing also where these foods are coming from, like the amount of adults I talk to today that don't even know what buckwheat is, or don't even know what is grown where or where it comes from. It's scary. It's like more than scary. We are totally unequipped to survive on our own anywhere. So
yeah,
I think this is really teaching people that that's what they're aware of. They're aware of the ingredients on the back of the list. They're aware of the foods and where it's been produced and why it's been produced and what it gives and what it is helps with the body, and then the health complications or the benefits from that as well. So yeah, I just love how you've created it and what you've done here. And even trying some of the, I think Michelle sent me some beautiful granola and I was just blown away. I've obviously been in the industry, I make my own foods, and I used to do a lot of workshops, and I used to teach in, raw food and primal food. And so it's been I create recipes all the time, but it's so beautiful to have someone create something for you that is safe, So it's like, oh my gosh, yes. I enjoy this. Like, let's get this down.
Yeah.
So I had to fight my whole family for that packet of granola.
Love it.
Yeah. But it's just, I think it's the awareness that you provide and the information that you give people. So I think what I wanted to touch on is that, how do you, balance your life, but also what does it look like in the life of a primalista? Because it fascinates me on how you created this. So for yourself, obviously running the business and keeping yourself well and not too busy, key tips, I guess, for the audience around that. And then what does it look like to be a primalista? And that will lead into my end mentions for you as well.
Awesome. Love it. Well, a day in the life of a primalista is very similar to the day in the life of me, but I don't do any baking anymore. So I really believe in working on the business, not working in the business.
Yeah.
And I agree with you as well. Like, it's so nice to, it's almost like, it's like the same feeling that you get when a friend or a family member cooks something for you. And you're a sort of meal train of people that you really trust, and you just can feel the love in something that is clean and it's homemade with love by a human, not just pumped out in a factory.
Mm.
And, that was another big section of how in my business model, like, I just knew very deep down that I did not want to pump this out in a factory. There's something about homemade food that's done with someone who is consciously interested in what they're doing and they have a passion for what they're doing. Like, that homemade with love, it's an energy that infuses into food that we can't perhaps quantify. Everybody, when I talk to people about that, everybody knows exactly what I mean, but we can't quite measure it yet. But we all know that something, when we do know that when something is homemade with love, we know it and we feel it. And I think that really helps to the helps with healing and also the quality of the food. Sorry, I got sidetracked again. But
no.
And also, I'm so glad that Michelle baked for you, because I have a local primalista as well, Kat.
Yes.
Special shout out to Primalista Kat, who bakes for me because I'm too busy. Too busy.
Yeah, beautiful.
Well, I'm not too busy, but I just love outsourcing. I mean, I love to bake and I'm always recipe testing and trying things and obviously cooking for the family and all of that. But I love to outsource and get my wraps. I love our wraps and our pastry from Kat. It's so cool. So a day in the life of me would involve, it's very driven around what my values are, Jodie. I'm a big I don't know if you follow Dr. John DeMartini and his values determination. You can do a test, a quick test online for free to find out what your values are, which I found really, really helpful, because sometimes they're not what we think they are. And we could sometimes think we should be doing more of this, but actually we'll always live by our values. Like that, it'll just, that's what will actually show up as coming true, not what you think you might want to be doing, but actually, you know. So for me, my biggest values are family, home, healthy, happy family, and looking after myself as well. That's my biggest priority. That's my biggest value.
Yeah.
And then it's my business, and then it's kind of social life and doing all the other things like that. So it's interesting how that's kind of how my day goes. So my day will be waking up with the family, having a lovely breakfast together. They'll all go out, so I'll do a bit of cleaning up and make the house all nice, so you can just enjoy that. I love a nice clean space because I think everything just kind of vibes along a bit better. Just enjoy that space for the day. I'll then go and do my workout. So I have a little office come gym with a sauna and a rebounder and a really massive speaker that blows really loud because I love loud music to work out to. And then I'm a big Les Mills fan, so I'll either do like a body pump or a body balance. I also alternate it with sometimes maybe the occasional enema for a little bit of a clean out for the old liver, and saunas, and going to the beach for a swim. We live 10 minutes from a very, very cold ocean, so that's really cool. And then I like to lie in the sun, cook a nice, make a nice lunch, lie in the sun, or do some meditation, sometimes have a little nap if that's what's needed. And then the rest of my time is spent speaking to people on the phone who want to be primalisters, speaking to people who are primalisters and supporting them, the occasional podcast like this, which is always lots of fun, interviewing people for my podcast, and then kind of like the day-to-day running of business, which I really enjoy that too. I like to have days where I'm on stage, which is like doing things like this, and then other days where it's a little bit more off stage, as I would call it, and I like to kind of cluster those sorts of activities together, because I find it really hard to jump from creating something in Canva or coming up with a new kind of strategy or idea or, you know, ad copy to then go on a call or do a podcast. It's sort of a bit too jarring. It's find I'm better off one way or the other. Yeah. So that's it. And then the family all come back after school and work, and then it's either a glass of champagne and hopping in the spa with my husband, or a nice meal in front of the fire with the family. And yeah, it's a pretty awesome life that I love, that I don't feel like I'm lucky, because I feel like I've very consciously created it. It's a long way from how life used to be, and I'm really grateful for it every day. I love it. Love my life. It's cool.
And it's having that gratitude and realization of what you've created for yourself, and it will never become unappreciated, and it will never become just normal for you. And that's, I think, just such a beautiful thing to hear. And it's sort of like, as you say, you really know how to best work, you know yourself, you know how you can pull the best out of yourself in your working environment, and then you're dedicating times that are creating a perfect balance for your life, which just sounds so divine. It's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. So Helen, let's get everyone to have the links and the upcomings or anything you need to tell people out there about you and your business.
Absolutely, love to. So I didn't finish off, I didn't tell you about a day in the life of a primalista, but
you can
just give you an idea. I just realized that I just talked about me. How awful. So most primalistas are baking 1 to 3 days a week and doing this in conjunction with something else. So whether it's a full-time job, I've got people who have got like high-flying careers and they just bake once every 3 weeks. You really can do it to whatever level you want it to be, whether it's like a hobby that pays or a side hustle or even like a full-time, it can replace a full-time income if that's what you want to do. And so most primalistas are doing this around caring usually for their kids or looking after themselves, their home, riding their horses, working in their veggie patch, looking after aging parents, all those sorts of things. I find having interviewed women, you know, at the gym, and then in this business, I've interviewed over 1,000 women who are interested in their own home back from home business, but also in recruitment as well. It was always women. They were always my candidates. So many, many, like 30, nearly 40 years of interviewing women, I really find that we really like to have diversity in our week. You know, we don't really just like that 9 to 5, 5 days a week. Men are all right like that, but women like to have a little bit of this and a bit of that, and then see Sandra for Pilates on a Thursday and coffee with Anne on a Monday. You know, it's, we do work better like that.
Agree.
So if you are listening to this and you think, oh, this is a bit different, I love baking and I want to help people, and you know, really the sort of the pathways for those sorts of careers that are going to do something like you've done, Jodie, which is huge, massive qualifications, starting a business, building a team, like it's huge. And only amazing people are capable, you know, of doing something like that. People might be like, oh, that sounds good, but I don't think I've got that in me, or I don't want to go back to uni. But if you want to have a business where you can be, I mean, I've been on a call with someone, this is unusual, right? Most people take a bit less, a longer time than this, but I've been on a call with someone on a Tuesday, and she's been at the farmer's market the weekend. I mean, you can be up and running and helping people and giving them good food alternatives much quicker than if you tried to figure it all out yourself from scratch. So the best place to go is to primalalternative.com. Mm-hmm. On that wonderful website, you can check out our products and look at the product page, look at the pictures, look at the ingredients. And if that excites you and you think, oh my goodness, this sounds amazing, then book a call with myself, or there's myself and then some primalisters actually help me out with the calls as well. And really what we do on there is just find out what you're looking for. We do a bit of a business strategy session in terms of like how much time in the week do you have? What as the potential stockists in your area? Do you want to do farmers markets? And then walk you through how much you've got to bake to earn X amount of money. Mm-hmm. And then if it's sounding like it's aligned and it's a good fit, then we'll show you how to join. It's all very straightforward. The chat's really kind of got this vibe. It's very, there's no obligation. It's not like a hard pressured sales call. It's really just kind of like testing out, is this a good fit for you? Are you a good fit for this model? And it's usually fun because, you know, you're speaking to like-minded people who are mad crazy foodies and on a health journey themselves, so it's lots of fun.
Absolutely. And again, it's information and it's just knowing a different way of looking at it, and like you say, you're in there helping people, so no matter which way you look at it, and you, if you're wanting to make money, it's just about the timing for the baking, really, which is sounds wonderful, you know, when people are already in their kitchens, they may already have the time for it, so it's wonderful.
Well, you know, so many people I speak to, they're like, well, the kitchen's my happy place, that's where I go to if I've had a bad day. So if you're already in there doing that, you might as well bake a little extra for the community and get paid for it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Oh, it's just been a pleasure talking with you, Helen, and what an amazing thing you've created, and the life for yourself, and it's admirable and also inspirational for a lot of women, so, you know, and men, you know, who knows, they may want to do some baking too. But thank you so much.
We've had a few primal misters.
Oh, there you go. I wasn't too much presumptuous. So yeah, thank you so much for your time today as well, Helen. And we'll pop this podcast out quite soon, so everyone will get very recent information. And it's been a pleasure, and I can't wait to try some more. And I'll definitely be finding all my local primalisters as well.
Thank you so much, Jodie.
All right, pleasure. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Revital Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.